from the KERA Newsroom. I'm Justin Martin. First, we continue to follow Ebola in Dallas. Another Texas Health Presbyterian worker is in the national spotlight today. KERA's Eric Austin joins us now. Eric, I understand this employee is on a cruise right now?
Yeah, everyone's been talking about this cruise today. This unnamed Presbyterian worker was involved in caring for Thomas Eric Duncan. He's the first Ebola patient who died. She handled one of his lab specimens. Last Sunday, she boarded a Carnival cruise ship in Galveston. U.S. officials have tried to get her off the ship, but Belize wouldn't let her off. The ship headed to Cozumel earlier today, but the boat didn't get clearance to dock in Mexico either. So the cruise is on its way back to Galveston. The ship should arrive Sunday morning. Now, the worker has not shown any symptoms, and she's volunteered to isolate herself on that ship.
Governor Rick Perry spoke about Ebola and travel today, and he had some strong words. What did he say?
The governor said it's indefensible that healthcare workers treating Duncan have been traveling, not just that worker on the cruise ship, but also Amber Vinson, the nurse who flew back to Dallas on Monday and was eventually diagnosed with Ebola.
It defies common sense from my perspective that someone who has been in close proximity or have treated these patients, that they would go out and expose other people possibly to this, that they would travel out of state, that they would go on a cruise.
Perry has also said that there should be a ban on flights coming to the United States from the West African countries affected by Ebola. But U.S. government officials say banning those flights would make it more difficult to treat Ebola in West Africa.
Eric, thanks, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Fear and reactions to the Dallas Ebola cases are making news around the country. Patients are canceling medical appointments. Schools have closed to clean buildings in Texas and Ohio. A community college in Corsicana is refusing to admit students from Ebola-affected countries. KERA's Dwali Saikautel looks into how North Texas is reacting.
People are freaking out, says this Dallas nurse who asked not to be named and not to disclose his employer.
Everybody don't want to die. I don't want to die either.
He says patients are scared and staying away. On a Friday, his facility is usually packed, but it was mostly empty today. And that's unusual, especially for flu season. A lot of his clients are asking him if Ebola is airborne. One parent told him her daughter's teacher has a low-grade fever and is in quarantine, so the mother brought the daughter in to be checked for Ebola.
People don't believe anybody. People want to stay away from anybody that live around the neighborhood. They're just afraid of the unknown.
Dr. Alexandra Dressel is a surgeon with a private practice at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital.
The whole hospital is really like a ghost town. The cafeteria is empty. The parking lots are empty. The OR, which is normally, full of cases, has a much, much smaller load.
October is normally a busy month for her, but she's received no new patients. And those with scheduled surgeries, she's personally called to talk about Ebola, how it is not an airborne disease and can only be contracted through direct contact with bodily fluids of someone who's actually sick.
People are so irrationally afraid. A woman asked the girls in the office, okay, so I know she's going to do a biopsy during surgery. Now, where's that biopsy going to go? Is that going to go to the same lab that they checked for that Ebola? And the girls went, well, does it matter? I mean, we're not putting it back in you. So why does it matter if it got processed on the moon or in the same pathology lab as the Ebola was processed?
She's also heard that colleagues are looking at moving their practices, something she says she might consider too.
If I'm not seeing new patients in the office, that will trickle to no more new surgeries. And that becomes no income, no ability to pay my office manager or my other employees, no ability to pay the rent, to pay your malpractice insurance. I mean, it just spirals from there.
We have some people that I think that are minimizing the situation and other people that are reacting in a panicked state. And I don't think that we need either.
That's Axel Good, a Frontier Airlines passenger who on a Monday flight from Cleveland sat 3 feet away from Amber Vinson, the second Presbyterian nurse to contract Ebola.
It's incredibly scary to think about what could happen over the next few days and waiting around, taking your temperature and hoping that that temperature doesn't come back, high.
Bottom line, he says, it's people like him who may have been exposed to an infected person that should be worried, not the general public. Dwahli Saikautau, KERA News.
Mina Pham, the first Texas nurse diagnosed with Ebola, is in fair condition at the National Institutes of Health Hospital in suburban Maryland. Her condition was listed as good before being transferred there. Amber Vinson is being treated at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. The hospital has treated other Ebola patients successfully. And there's light at the end of the tunnel for the first wave of people being monitored for possible Ebola exposure. KERA's Eric Austin is back with us now. Eric, that group includes people who had contact with Thomas Eric Duncan?
Yes, that's correct. The 21-day monitoring period runs through Sunday. The group includes Duncan's fiancée, Louise Trow, and three young men who lived in the apartment where Duncan stayed when he got sick. Yesterday, Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins spoke about what the end of their isolation will mean.
For Louise, it'll be a time where she can go to her church and she can go to places she wants to go. She can go to a restaurant where she wants to eat. She suffered a great loss. Her fiance died. Seeing this happen with those three young men, it's really been a tough thing for that little family unit, and it'll be great when they're able to, you know, come back and join society.
Jenkins expects Trow will return to Adele's apartment, but he wouldn't say exactly where she'll live.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Justin.
The exhibition, Faces of Impressionism, opening this weekend at the Kimball Art Museum, is the largest loan of portraits ever from the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. KERA's Jerome Week says the exhibition makes a case for Impressionists finding new ways to capture the human face.
The Impressionists made their mark through landscapes and cityscapes. That's where they really displayed their revolutionary experiments in light, atmosphere, and modern subjects. The work that even gave Impressionism its name was Monet's 1872 painting of a foggy sunrise over an industrial harbor. But Faces of Impressionism at the Kimball is all portraits, and the portrait is a more narrowly focused, more traditional form. George Shackelford co-curated the exhibition. He says painters like Cézanne, Degas, and Van Gogh gave the formal portrait new psychological insight. They gave it drama and color.
When Cézanne makes a portrait of himself, it's full of vigor and is as boldly painted as Degas' is refined. Van Gogh thought that it was color that was going to make the modern portrait. So these artists are fiercely independent, fiercely determined to mold their own style and to advance the new painting as it came to be known.
The artists featured at the Kimball are a greatest hits roster from late 19th century France. Renoir, Monet, Rodin, Toulouse-Lautrec. That's because the Musée d'Orsay is the giant Victorian railway station in Paris that was converted into a museum in 1986. It holds the world's preeminent collection of Impressionists and Post-Impressionists. So the 74 artworks in Faces of Impressionism range from such well-known masterpieces as Degas' portraits of ballet dancers to paintings by artists who may never have been seen before in North Texas. The Kimball's Faces of Impressionism runs through January 25th. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
See images from Faces of Impressionism at artandseek.org. For the evening, mostly clear skies with a low near 59. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 80. It's 84 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 81 in Tyler, and 78 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.